Hallelujah. 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 Microphone. Hallelujah. This one. Hallelujah. This one works. This one don't. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. If you ain't standing, would you please stand? Oh, my Lord. Is there liberty in the house tonight? Hallelujah. If you came in here tonight and you got a problem, you got a situation, you don't got to leave with it. Amen? This is the atmosphere. God likes to take that away. That's what he's here for. That's what he bled and died on a tree for. Amen? Woo! Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is good all the time. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is cake after church. Eat two pieces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's so funny. You see people in the, they paint their faces and they do all this crazy stuff and get all these headdresses and stuff on to go to watch a national football game or something like that. But we don't have to do that. We, you know, sometimes we get ridiculed for doing what we do, but I'm just so thankful for what God has done in my life. I just want to dance and celebrate. Amen? Has he set you free? Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Here we are, another CIP graduation. All right? So thankful for the CIP graduation. It's so exciting to see people who have been out there and had a rough go of it, maybe lost their way, found some trouble, but they're given an opportunity to come because they, in their hearts, want to change. They want to change from what they were doing before because they know there's something better out there for them. They believe that there is a God there that wants to help them and make a change in their life. Amen? I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. All right? Heaven's having a party when one person repents. That's what my Bible says. And I want to party right along with them. Because everybody that's here has been there once. Has had that salvation, has had that place of lowness and had nowhere to go but to turn up and look for God. And he was there and he picked you up, carried you out of the mud, dusted you off, spit shined you. Well, I always like to start out giving credit where credit is due. And I always start out with my sweet pea over here interpreting. I couldn't do any of this or do anything without her, and I'm so thankful for her. She's so pretty. Hallelujah. I love you. Praise God. And our awesome leadership that sits over here, our wise counsel, hallelujah, that leads us in truth, keeps us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I could never forget everybody who's been involved in the CIP, who is involved or who has been involved, and those who continue to labor because you have a burden for seeing the lost saved and the oppressed being set free. I absolutely love this ministry. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. You know, I love that God told us. He said in Matthew 25 and 34, you know, at the end of that verse, he said, go visit them boys and girls in prison. Go check them out. Go check on them. Just because they did something wrong doesn't mean that we just totally forget about them and kick them into a hole. You know what I mean? That's inhumane, in my opinion. I'm so glad that you know, while I was there, there was a person like Brother Hawk that stretched his arm out and reached out to me and led me to the truth and seen me saved in behind bars. That's exciting. That's exciting. And I'm glad that we have a church that is open arms and allows this to happen and sees these things and sees the need there. Because everybody deserves a chance, right? Amen? Jesus said he'd leave the 99 to go get that one sheep over here that fell by the wayside. He'd leave the whole flock over there. This because this guy's struggling. He's upside down and he's kicking and he's having a hard time. He'd pick him up, put him on his shoulders, break him. He had to break me and get me into the flock so I can be right. Amen? That's exciting. And also for Sister Audrey Hawk, who with her tough love, where is she? Audrey, where are you? All right. With her. That's right. Give Audrey a great big hand. With her tough love, Mama Audrey, and her discipline, if she's not mean to you, that means she don't like you. All right? Amen. There's no better feeling than to know that you have liberty in the Lord. No matter if the whole world is falling apart around you, God is right there to keep you balanced. In Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because his rod and his staff, they comfort us," right? He keeps us right where we need to be when we are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. But here's the key, church. We got to remember that's just a shadow. That ain't real. That's just a shadow. That is just a shadow. God is there. It's just a shadow. And sometimes I think the devil puts us there to scare us. But then sometimes, too, think about this now. I think that God puts it there to test us and see where our faith is. Right? Come on now. And you know, he promised us a measure of faith. He promised us a measure of faith, and we need to exercise that faith. He promised each and every person in this room, in the whole world, a measure of faith. That's what my Bible says. He promised everybody a measure of faith. And he also said later on that the faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. The faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, can move a mountain. That should just tell you just how strong a little bit of faith is. If you got mountains in your life, if you got mountains in your life and you're far from God, get close to God. Get a hold of that faith. Be encouraged. Get a hold of that faith. And you can move them mountains out of the way in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, so tonight, I came here to encourage somebody. Because I believe that we all need a little bit of encouragement from time to time, right? We all are down sometimes. We need a little bit of encouragement. Does anybody here need some encouragement from time to time? Everybody's hands should be up. Sometimes it gets tough. Or maybe you know somebody that needs encouragement. Every message, I love to take what I hear behind this pulpit and apply it to my life, but then go and tell it to somebody else because you can help them. All of this stuff is for us. We get to eat at this table when the pastors are ministering to us, but I got extra food on my plate. I want to give somebody else who's in need. You know what I'm saying? All right. Praise God. So my main scripture tonight is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. This is the King James. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye." So they're saying, we need to go over here. We need to cut down a bunch of trees so we can make a spot. All right? And one of the servants said to the prophet, he says, and one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered, "I will go." The one dude's like, "Hey, will you come with us, Elisha? You're the prophet. Will you come with us?" And he's like, "I'm coming with." So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, or one was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." I love the King James. "Alas, alas, alas, Roy, I got a problem." I love "alas." I'm going to start using that at work. Hallelujah. The Redallin family is here tonight from work. So good to see them. So glad you guys are here. Those are the best service steam fitters in the world right there. So thankful they're here tonight. So, okay, And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, "Take it up to thee," and put out his hand, and he took it. So tonight, I propose the question, is your iron swimming? Is your iron swimming? This guy was definitely in trouble. Okay? A little geography here. The Jordan River is 17 yards wide in places, and it's 17 feet deep, and it's muddy. You know, and no doubt this guy, he's cutting down trees, and he's putting, you know, when you're cutting wood with an axe, you got to put a little steam behind it. So he's swinging this thing, and whack, there goes the head, breaks off. And I'm sure it didn't just fall in the weeds or in the sand over here. You know what I mean? If he had to, you know, I'm sure he started out by going and looking for this thing and scraping around in the weeds and stuff. And you know, maybe he had a dog like City Dog or something who was out there looking for the thing or something. You know what I mean? Trying to help him. And he couldn't find the thing. So he goes to the prophet and says, "Alas, master, the axe was borrowed." Who's ever borrowed something and, you know, the thing just, it breaks on you when you have it? Who's ever borrowed a trailer and all the lights work on it, but when you bring it back, the stinking things don't work? Or one's broken because you jackknifed it or something. You know what I mean? It's not a good feeling. You know, and this is back in Old Testament days. I mean, it could have been off with your head. Could have been the punishment for something like that. I mean, who knows? You know what I'm saying? But so, you know, this is no good. It's just a stick. It's an axe handle, but there's no iron on it. You know, it's in the Jordan River, and he's got a problem. So we're gonna put that guy right there. You can't give an axe back to the guy you borrowed it from without the business end of the axe stuck on the thing. All right? So the guy needed some serious help. So he went to the man of God and said, "Alas, master, I need help." In English, that means, "Pastor Roy, I'm going to be in deep trouble if I don't get some help here." Has anybody ever been there before? I mean, where all odds are against you. You absolutely need a miracle in your life. You've been everywhere else. You and the dog have been wrestling around in the weeds trying to find the axe. You waded out a little bit into the river to try and find that axe head. You just couldn't find it. You tried everything to make it work, but it's just not happening. And that's when you look to God. Amen? He will make a way for your iron to swim, whether it be right there, you know, right on the spot, right there, like it happened to this guy, or through some other person, place, or thing. Praise God. Now, to me, that's a pretty encouraging story. God cares about the little things. They may be little to somebody else, but to you, they're huge. A problem like that is huge to me. I don't want to take something broken back to somebody. I wasn't taught that. You take it back in better condition. But all you have to do is ask. I like this one here. Has anybody ever been late before to work? And you're going down East Washington Avenue, and there's a zillion lights. And you say, "God, I'm late. I need green lights." And and all of a sudden, them reds, they just all turn green, and you're just smooth sailing the whole way. God cares about that stuff. You make it a point not to be late. 15 minutes early is late, in my book. Or that sweet parking spot right in front of a place where there is never a parking spot. Brother Thomas taught me that we need to exercise our faith and believe God. Start with the little things. When you pull into Walmart and it's a madhouse there, pull right up front believing that God blinded the guy's eyes in front of you and left that spot open, and pull in there. You think it's funny, but try it. Try it after tonight. It works. It works. That spot is right there. I mean, come on. We're the children of the King. He wants us to park in the front spot. Amen? All right? I believe in stuff like that. Little stuff like that builds our faith up. You know what I mean? We need that. Let's look further into the Bible. All right, let's look at Moses. Moses had a problem. He had all of Israel going with him to depart from Egypt. Okay? But he also had the entire Egyptian army chasing him, right behind him. You know, he's got a problem. He's got an entire army coming after him, the Egyptian army. So what does Moses do? He sought counsel from God. He prayed, and God told Moses to stretch out his hand, and he parted the Red Sea so they could cross on dry land. And when they got to the other side, the sea closed right up on top of the enemy. God made a way in a seemingly impossible situation. For Moses and the children of Israel that day, the iron did swim. Who here has had their mind made up that you're going to do what's right? You're going to live for God, CIP. But your past is chasing you. Your past is chasing you down. Old habits and negative influences are right on your tail. They're trying to bring you down. What you going to do? You going to stand strong? Are you going to give in to the devil? Because the devil's a lie. He's just going to bring you right back to that spot. He's going to put them leg irons right back on top of me. He's going to put them handcuffs right back on me in the back of a car. Here we go again. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a plan for you. Your iron is going to swim. The devil can't touch you without God knowing about it. So just stand tall. And now know that if you're going through a tough time right now, stick with it. God's up to something. It will be for your own good. It's going to make you stronger. God will get the glory in the end. Also, you will have a great testimony and a greater faith to share with someone who might be struggling with the same thing. You see, church, I believe that we have the answer to a lot of the world's problems. We hold them. We go to church 3 times a week. You know? And we're given these things. We got the Word of God. We got the Word of God. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, O Lord. I mean, we have the answers to these problems. They're all right there in the book. Let's share them. Who knows about Naaman? Naaman in the Old Testament, the leper. He had an issue. Naaman was the Assyrian general. Okay? But he was a leper. How do you command an army if you're a leper? You can't even go into the camp. You can't run a show if you're a leper. So the servant tells Naaman that there was a prophet in the area. Church, there's always counsel in the area. There's always counsel nearby. Saints of God, do we do house calls? Do we do house calls? Amen? That's what we're here for. There's always counsel nearby. We have the same Holy Ghost as the apostles in the book of Acts had. Praise God. So Naaman goes to see the prophet and tells him to dip himself in the river 7 times. Naaman got mad. He thought that the prophet should come out and lay hands on him and heal him. Church, God knows. God's ways are not our ways. If God says to go do something and it don't make no sense, just go do it. You don't know what he's up to. So Naaman gives in, and he goes and dips himself in the dirty Jordan River 7 times, and God healed him. For Naaman that day, the iron did swim. After that, he forsook all other little gods in his life and decided to follow the one true God. Are you here tonight and you need a healing? Are you here tonight and you've been healed? Has God healed you? Lift your hands up if God has touched you and healed you in some way, shape, form, or another. Look at that. I believe that by his stripes we are healed. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I propose to you tonight, if you've been to this altar 6 times praying for your healing, you know, make tonight your 7th. Make tonight your 7th. Tonight your iron's going to swim. Respond and make tonight the 7th. Naaman had to dip 7 times. I mean, I don't know why it's 7, but I see a repetitive. You got to just keep going and keep going. Jesus said, just keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on asking. God's going to be there. He's going to deliver you. Hallelujah. He's going to look at your heart. When you're desperate enough, that's when it's going to happen. It's in a cry of desperation. That's That's where he is. Or in that still small voice, ask Elijah up on the hill. Daniel had a big problem. He was told he couldn't pray to his God anymore. If he did, he'd be fed to the lions. These men saw Daniel as a threat. See, church, I believe when you're living for God, the devil sees you as a threat. And he's going to do his dead level best to try and mess it all up. So what did Daniel do? He put it right back in his face. He opened his window and prayed to God 3 times a day so the whole world could see. Amen? I love that. And what did they do? They took him in, and they thought they were going to feed him to the lions. But God had other plans. I believe when you have set out to serve the Lord, he's always going to make a way. He's always going to make a way. God sent an angel into the den that night and made them big lions to purr like little bitty kittens all night long. For Daniel, the iron did swim that night. Hey, church, I know it's true. If God be for you, who can be against you? Not even the lions. Daniel probably looked like a pork chop sandwich to them lions, but there was an angel in there with him. I pray in the morning, Lord, give your angels charge over me today. Watch over me. Keep my family in all of our ways. Touch all my brothers out there working, all my sisters out there working. Watch over us, Lord. Keep us. I believe in angels. I see too many miracles in my life to not believe in it. It's true. Amen? Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say all that to say this, that there are some wonderful people here tonight that have made up their minds that they are not going to let their circumstances keep them from doing what's right. They're not going to let their past dictate their future. They have worked hard and diligently to be here tonight. They took the 20-week program and completed all that was asked of them. So without further ado, I would ask the graduates to come up one by one and share what's on their heart. As I give you your certificate, just take and line up right over here. Terrence Walton. Come on up, brother. Let's go, buddy. All right. Kimberly Olson. Woo! Paul Stratton. Linda Wells. Woo! Mama Bear. Julie Fenez. My brother Quan. Justin Trudimsky. Jason Jordan. Hallelujah. I'm going to pass the microphone over to these folks. And let them speak their piece.
It was actually my wife's idea that she kind of, it was at CIP graduation, she said, you should do that. That was kind of maybe under the auspice that I would maybe be able to help Noah out. I like the guy, but I also believe in him, and I believe he's good at what he does, and he's a good minister. But there's also something else that was going on, like in my life, and And I was bound by a prescription drug. And it was really something that was really hard for me to kick. And it was something that was hanging over me for a couple of years. And when I got in the program, I was like, I really hoping that maybe it'll help me defeat this thing that was binding me in my life. And maybe it was on one Wednesday I came to church and Glenn Uselman was preaching, and I believe in that guy too. And he preached a great message, and I was just like, I'm not going to take that drug tomorrow, and I'm just going to see how I feel. And that's how the drug kind of bound me. Is like, I felt like my days would be harder without it. I felt like life would be harder without it. But after that day, I was feeling good. The third day came, and I was like, I'm feeling really good. Like, and then I'm really feeling that drug, there's a paradox. I thought that I'd feel better. I'd feel worse if I didn't have that drug, but it was actually, I was feeling so much better without it. And that's the lie that I bought into. And it was like a week later that I told my wife, I was like, I haven't taken that drug in a week, and I will never take that drug again. So the paper's valuable to me, but that's my reward. That's my trophy. The fact that I was able to set that off, and I'm thankful for CIP. I'll always be thankful for that reason.
You gotta go. Hi, everybody. Praise the Lord, Church. Every time I got some sort of a celebration, nobody in my family made it, you know. But today, I think everybody else is here. So let's celebrate. I was with Mark Clark, and he brought me here, and I thought everybody was crazy the first time. But then as time moves on, I was introduced to this wonderful church. Everyone here welcomed me and opened their minds with me and start greeting me and telling me about God, and they trusted me, and you guys offer me friendship, and most of you are awesome in many, many ways. You know, I'm grateful with everyone in the church for your support, everything you've done for me. Minister James, thank you for CIP. I'm in debt with you. Pastor John Grant and Roy Grant, I mean, this is my family. What can I tell you? You know, I mean, this is what we do. Booyah. So it is done, you know, like Jesus said, you know, it's done, you know. And for me, I think it's just the beginning, you know. I'm really grateful again. Thank you for being not just my friends, but my family in Christ. Thank you.
Okay, I'm here because Vicki Leonardson drove out to my house when I was on house arrest and told me, you better do CIP, I think you'll have a blast. And I had a blast, and if it's shown me anything, it's shown me that God really is bigger than anything. There's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing he can't free you from. There's no disease he can't heal. He really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I just want to thank Pastor Grant for teaching me everything that I know about Jesus. And I thank God for this church every day. And thank you to the love of my life, Brian Zian, for giving me a ride to CIP for 20 long weeks.
I didn't know what I was going to say, and I still don't. Then I was really impressed when I've sat through many of these CIP graduations. And I see what people have been through, and probably going to echo the words of my son said when he graduated the last class. It makes me grateful for what I've got and what I haven't had to go through. I can't stand up here and say that God's delivered me from drugs or alcohol or any of that. God has kept me from it, and for that I praise him.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Stratton. I guess I want to start by thanking the CIP staff and everybody here for welcoming me. And it meant an awful lot to be welcomed. And for those of you who reached out their hand and said, I'm glad you're here, I appreciate it very much. Part of my journey with CIP, you know, I came from, you know, this is in reference to addiction, coming from medical treatment centers that definitely defined who I was. You know, they told me what I had, who I was, and how long I was going to have it for. And I was uneasy with that. So I came to CIP and just to know that, you know, God is bigger than all of it, and to be in a place where forgiveness, redemption, and regeneration happens, I am very grateful. So thank you very much.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for welcoming everyone in here. Special thanks to Kim, without her I wouldn't have been able to complete the program, and to Renee and Brooke taking me out to dinner, being friends, and just being cool. Thanks.
First of all, I want to thank God. I want to thank Nora, the CIP program, the Calvary Gospel Family, for a sober man. I want to thank. I want to thank CIP and my family for pushing me for the 20 weeks. And just thanks.
Hallelujah. This time I'm going to ask Pastor Roy to pray for the graduates. You guys could all stand and help pray together. We're going to pray for him. You want to get a picture, Sister Hop? Okay, after we pray.
When we pray this time, what I'd like for all of us to do is just, when we raise our hands, just reach our hands out towards this group of people that's standing up here. The reason I say that is because we're going to go home, a lot of us, and we're not going to go home with some of the same temptations and some of the same struggles. We're not going to be reoccurring temptations. Satan likes to take, and he likes to continually throw our past into our face. He likes to remind us of our past failures. What we have to do is we have to build a wall, a hedge around these people where that Satan can't get at them. A hedge that is formed through prayer. So let's pray for these graduates tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters that are standing here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every one of these great people. Lord God, they have committed their lives to you. They have turned their lives over to you. They're starting down a path, Lord, a path that may not be all that familiar right now to them, Lord. But as you begin to reveal more of yourself to them, you reveal more of yourself as far as who you are and what you are. And I ask you, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Lord, we all have problems and we all have issues in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would put a hedge around each and every one of these individuals, Lord. A hedge of protection, Lord, so that the enemy cannot get in and try to take and mess up what has already, the seeds that have been starting to grow in their life, Lord. I pray, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, where you have brought each and every one of these from, Lord. But I'm not just thankful for what you brought them from, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for where they are going in their life, Lord. They have had a direction change, Lord, a change of direction, a change of attitude, a change of venue. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do in their lives. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for our past, Lord, because our past helps us to recognize our presence. But I thank you, Lord, for our future. And I pray, Lord, right now for each and every one of these brothers and sisters, Lord, that their future, Lord, would be a powerful future in you. We thank you, Lord, and we do all of this. We say all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's give our graduates a big hand clap. Hallelujah. This is what it's all about. This is what Jesus came for. To turn those who were lost, set them free. Hallelujah. So proud of each and every one of you guys, and us as a church body, we're proud of you as well. Amen. Praise God. These people are going to make a difference in this world, and church, we need to stand behind them along the way. Nobody can do this on our own. We all know that. We need each other to lift each other up. I just want to take a quick second to recap and just go back and say the common denominator in all of them stories that we talked about earlier was that action was required. Action was required. We had a problem. We took it to God, and then there was an action required on our part, whether it be to raise our hand. Moses had to lift up his hand so the sea would split. What if he wouldn't have lifted up his hand? Would it have happened? What if he didn't listen to exactly what God said? Would the Red Sea have opened up? I don't know. I see Naaman. Naaman had to go dip 7 times. It don't make no sense. But he responded. It required an action. We need to take action sometimes. God has plans for us and all of these wonderful things for us. But it's not going to happen if we just sit there like a bump on a log. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. And then you just sit and wait. You got to get up and do something. Yeah. Hallelujah. My wife and I, just a testimony as to God's goodness, my wife and I, in a week and a half, we're closing on the house of our dreams. Hallelujah. I give glory to God. I went from a 4x8 cell, okay, a 4x8 cell, bound and chained up. And now I'm going to be a homeowner with an acre and a half. You know, I mean, praise God. Praise God. That's nothing to do with me. I just responded to what God had for my life. All those years I was running, I was drinking and doing drugs and doing all that stupid stuff, getting in trouble, wasting time. Right, Mom? But I had a mother that was there praying for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle tonight, I'm inviting you up front. If you're swimming in the rivers of sin and you need your iron to swim, God's got a plan for you. You need to know that. If you're down and out and oppressed, you got troubles, even if it's something small. If you're living for God, you got a great prayer life and all of this stuff. Come on now. Let's be real. You're going to have problems. You got problems. Everybody does. Hallelujah. Jesus wants to make that axe whole. If you have a financial need. My wife and I, the first year we got married, hallelujah, we didn't have 2 nickels to rub together the first Christmas. And we didn't even hardly have enough money to cover rent. We begin to pray. We bound together on the couch. Remember, we bound together on the couch. And we started to pray. And I went and got the mail the next day. And in the mail was a check for my grandma from Colorado for $1,000. Hallelujah. Our iron was swimming. God made a way. We asked him, Lord, What are we going to do? We had enough left over to buy Christmas gifts for the little kids and stuff, and we had Christmas, you know? So don't tell me that God doesn't care about the little things. If God be for you, everybody else might as well be as well. Amen? Would you come forward? Would you lay your burdens down? Would you pray? In Jesus' name, the singers can sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're sick in body...